What up? It's your man, D-Real, the Black Panther, stalking the urban jungle and Vibranium Adidas, bringing you another session of Be Real with D-Real. So I say to all my friends, enemies, and frenemies, what's up? Glad you can make it. And if you can't make it, it don't matter because you can't hear me anyway. Been a lot going on this week. I have been pretty busy, and I'm going to be pretty busy in the next couple of weeks. Got an improv show on the 28th of September with the improv group I am a part of, mostly Melanin Arts. I say that like I didn't found it, but if I say I'm the founder, then I sound a little arrogant, and I strive to not sound arrogant because Lord knows I have been arrogant most of my adult life. I probably shouldn't have said that out loud, huh? Anyways, I'm going to be there on 28th down at Out North Theater, formerly known as the Alaska Experience Theater, 333 West 4th Avenue. That's at the corner of 4th Avenue and C Street. We got a big banner out front. Yeah, come on in. I guarantee you, you will laugh. You will have a deer in the headlights kind of look about you, but I guarantee you, for that hour and a half, you will not be bored. I also have a sketch comedy show. I work with a group called Pogo Agogo. What's up? I write skits. I'm in skits. So just think of it like a sort of an Alaskan version of Saturday Night Live. Same place. That will be on October 5th and 6th. That's a doubleheader. And then in October, we will have another show on the 26th of October. So lots to do, lots to see, lots happening. Not resting on my laurels at all. So enough about me. Let's get into this show. I decided this week I was going to do a doubleheader, kill two birds with one stone. Because it serves two purposes. One, it allows us to delve deeper into different topics, and two, it keeps us from getting urge my callers, or the callers that are within the sound of my voice. If you are going to comment, call in at 646-668-2268. Call in and talk to me about the topic I happen to be talking about at the time. Okay. First topic we are going to talk about tonight is co-parenting. Why are we talking about co-parenting? Because it's fun. And not only am I the president of the co-parenting club, I'm also a member. I have had the privilege of co-parenting two children with two ladies who I ended up eventually not getting along with, at least in a cohabitative or romantic kind of an atmosphere. And that brings me to giving y'all the definition of co-parenting. Co-parenting, for lack of a different term, is parenting done by parents or individuals who are not married, cohabitating, or romantically involved. That's what co-parenting is. So for all of you people who are parents and you live with your wife or your husband, or you live with somebody who you can stand, this ain't about you. But feel free to continue listening. I had the privilege of first co-parenting in the early 90s, about 92, 93, and it didn't start off as co-parenting. I don't know about y'all, but my co-parenting started off as baby mama drama. And baby mama drama, or baby daddy drama, whatever you want to call it, and I'm not just going to relegate the lady to that role, it comes from somebody ain't done being involved with somebody. But then when they are abruptly exposed to reality that I don't want to be bothered with you no more, they get a little salty. I have been on both ends of that equation. I've been on equation where I was rejected, and I wasn't ready to be rejected, but rejection waits for no man or woman. And I just kind of had to move on, and I moved out of my bitterness. And when I moved out of my bitterness, I actually became a much, much, much better parent. My first co-parenting goal was long distance. So my child was in California. I was in Alaska. So it was kind of difficult going at first because everybody wasn't being cooperative. And as we'll find out later on as we dig deeper into this, cooperation and communication is important. Not only is it important, it's paramount. The second relationship I was in, again, ended ugly. Goodness, why do I get into these relationships? Well, I'm not in them no more. Let's put it like that. And it was kind of tooth and nail up until a certain point. When it was realized that the baby mama drama, the baby daddy drama, all of that foolishness that comes with that. I mean, and y'all, if anybody who's ever been in a situation where they were divorced or they separated from somebody who they had children with, 99% of the time, that is not a situation that ends amicably. As a matter of fact, it is downright predatory in some instances. And what happens is, whether we realize it or not, our children see us, and we are the greatest teachers of our children, regardless of what you want to believe. Social media is not the greatest. They are the first teachers, and they will always be the teachers that remain in your life, unless you just have some fantastical estranging event and you don't speak to your parents no more. Your parents are always going to be a part of your life, and your parents are always going to want to either coerce you to do what they think is best for you or just kind of indirectly influence you. I've learned all kids ain't the same. And some kids will respond positively to that influence. Other kids are like, man, get out of my face. Why don't you leave me alone, Dad? Why don't you leave me alone, Mom? But if you're in a co-parenting situation, you need to understand that there are a lot of things you should wrap your brain around. First of all, you need to practice empathy. You need to practice empathy with your children. You need to practice empathy with your significant other. Because co-parenting isn't something that happens overnight. Co-parenting isn't something that happens in a month, in some cases a year, in some cases years, because some people hold on tight and don't let go. Some people hope, oh, well, maybe this is just a phase. And some people hope, oh, I can't believe she's boning him now. You know, those kinds of things. But we have to practice empathy, because empathy, bottom line, is basically about the golden rule, okay? The way you would like for them to treat you. So when it comes to them situations where, I hate to say it, but if your ex decides to have someone over, a man friend, a lady friend, and your child just happens to be there, and I know that was a pet peeve with me. Oh, I don't want that nigga around my kid. You know, that kind of a thing. But you have to understand, your ex is going to have a life, and that life includes S-E-X. That life includes having a relationship with another man or woman. That's something you have to be mature about. If you knew that was going to happen going in, then you should have tried a little harder to make that relationship work. Another thing we really need to be mindful of is being flexible with schedules. And here's the thing. I know in my second relationship where I was co-parenting, it was always about, well, the court said. And, well, the court said that this is what should be happening. The court said this is what you should be doing. Oh, it's my day, so nope. You can't take your son to the fair. You can't take your daughter to play basketball. You can't take your daughter to a ballet class. I'll take them. You know, that kind of a thing. We have to understand that courts, and I say this to anybody within the sound of my voice, courts should not be the be-all, end-all when it comes to what should or shouldn't be done with your children in terms of shared custody, co-parenting, and that kind of a thing. Because a lot of people use what the court says as a weapon towards the other spouse. Well, you're not supposed to be over here. Unless you actually really got something going on, is there something really – I can understand it if it's a clingy thing and they're coming around Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and calling just as much. Okay, that's too much. But to be able to call for 5-10 minutes and holler at your kids, that's not a bad thing. Number three about good co-parenting, pick your battles. Yes, I said it. There are going to be battles. There are going to be conflicts. There are going to be knockdown dragouts in some cases. I can't tell you how many times during the co-parenting process I disagreed with something my ex said, or my ex disagreed with something I said, and I was like, bitch, we get ready to have it out right now. What you say? I don't care. Check this out. Click. You know, hang up the phone. That kind of a thing. You know, just being, and later on, that could come back and bite you when that other spouse has the upper hand. Oh, please believe, they thinking about when you was talking nasty to them over the phone and hung the phone up in their face. Oh, now the shoe is on the other foot. So don't create that dynamic. Be the bigger co-parent and say, I'm going to let that slide because I know my time is going to come around. And that goes hand in hand with number four, communication. You got to communicate. You can't be, because I know one thing my spouse would love to do or my ex-spouse would love to do is just kind of like call and say, oh, no, you're not. You should have said something before we decided we was getting ready to go out to the valley, or you should have said something before we decided we was getting ready to go to a movie. I done already bought the tickets. So sorry. But I'm not sorry, okay? So had there been some communication, and it got better, you know, there wasn't just this popping up, showing up, and hey, oh, how you doing, and blah, blah, blah. And speaking of popping up and showing up, whenever y'all doing those exchanges, you know, when daddy has to drop the daughter or the son back off to the mommy, or mommy has to drop the son or daughter off to dad, make that exchange short. Okay? Don't be clingy. Don't give endless instructions and directions and, oh, make sure that she puts on her pajamas before she goes to bed. And, oh, she needs to take this medicine. And, oh, she can't eat that. No, she can't have that. I mean, there is something that the other parent needs to know. But, I mean, if we were in a relationship and we had this child together and at one point we were raising this child together, I'm aware of the child's allergies. I'm aware of what the child likes to eat and what the child does not like to eat. I do not need you to be a coach and be right there on my shoulder. Well, you know, this is what you do. Shut up and go, you know, and we're equals. That's another thing. co-parents are equals. I don't have more authority or power than you do any more than you have more authority or power than I do. If there is a situation where both parents have made a conscious decision to co-parent and one parent ain't a crackhead and one parent ain't a bum and one parent ain't an alcoholic or, you know, just something like that going where it's like, no, you don't. Your parenting powers have been nullified. I mean, and then there are cases where that can happen. You want to, if you can help it, you know, you need to remember, y'all divorced for a reason. Y'all separated for a reason. Because one of y'all can't stand the other, or both of you cannot stand one another, and it's just backwards for you to continue to coexist together. And as y'all coexist and you grow and you raise the kids together, there are things like respecting the other parent's time. Don't call me during my week or my weekend and say, she's got the so-and-so going on and I want to take her and I think, you know, that kind of thing. Don't do that. Respect the other parent's time. Or communicate and say, I would like on your week to take to the trampoline park and jump with her. And then do that for a couple of hours. I get my exercise in. I get to spend a little time. And I'll drop her back off to you. Cool. That kind of thing works. Those are the kind of exchanges you need to be having with that other spouse and not telling them why they can't spend time with them or denying them time, you know. And speaking of denial, share. Share everything. Share photos. Share report cards. Share athletic accomplishments. Share those things. Both parents need to be a part of that. Both parents need to experience that. Both parents need to see that going on. And not to mention, it's a beautiful thing with the kids when they see that the parents ain't rattin', holla, 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 F you, screw you, so what, whatever, when they see that's not going on. You know what I'm saying? It makes for a better overall relationship for the child. Because remember, it's called co-parenting. It's about the child. It's not about y'all fucking hind. Y'all need to understand that you need to let that go and be an adult. Encourage your kids to communicate with you. Notice I didn't say encourage your kids to come back and give you a report about what the other parent is doing. Honestly, that ain't none of your damn business. You don't need to know what your ex-wife is doing with that dude or that chick. You know, you gave up the privilege of being informed of those types of comings and goings. Comings and goings. See what I did there? Anyway, and lastly, I say enjoy your time off. If you know you are a good parent and you know you are doing what you are supposed to be doing and holding up your end of the co-parenting covenant, doggone it, you deserve a vacation. Doggone it, you deserve to go out to the club and shake your tail feather. But don't be funky. Don't be raggedy. Don't be messy. Okay? Because you are a reflection of your child. Or your child is a reflection of you. You don't want to put all of that, you know, on your child and everybody knowing, you know, oh, your daddy be at the club trying to mess with 29-year-olds. And yeah, you don't want your daddy to be known for that. Oh, your mama's a hoochie. Oh, my brother said he ran a train on your mama. You got to be able to delineate between healthy activities and unhealthy activities. But have fun. If that's your idea of fun, keep it on the DL, because you don't want kids coming to school and talking about your mama or your dad. And most importantly, not most importantly, but one of the most important, talk positive to your children about your ex. I can't tell you how many times I heard my mother say my father wasn't shit. And to be perfectly honest, if you abandon your children and never look back, you aren't. But that's not the image you want to project about a parent, regardless of what they're doing. You brought that child into the world with them, and they was cool when they that cat was cool when he was on top of you making babies. He was cool when he was providing. Why all of a sudden he turned into Captain Dickweed? You know, I'm not saying give your children the facts. You should give your children the facts. Give your children the facts and let them draw their own conclusion. But don't run the opposite parent down to your parent, to your children. That's negative. Spare them the details. You know what I'm saying? They don't need to know, oh, well, me and your daddy ain't together no more because I came in to the house and I seen him. He had a woman down on her knees in front of him, and he was chasing me down the street with no pants on, trying to explain to me why it wasn't what I thought it was. Yeah, kids don't. You know what I'm saying? How do you break that down to a child? You don't. Okay. There was a disagreement between your father and I, and the circumstances are such that we will no longer be living together. Done. If they ask for details, at least for me, if I didn't feel comfortable divulging a detail to my child, ask your mama, and if she's cool with that, we can talk about it. Most of the time, if a child is mature enough to ask about details, I think, then they're mature enough to hear. You might disagree, but that's just how I feel about it. 646-668-2268, if you want to call in, holler at me. A good book to read, Too Much of a Good Thing, Raising Children. Sorry about that. Too Much of a Good Thing, Raising Children of Character, by Dan Kinlan. It was written in 2001. I'm sorry, Raising Children of Character in an Indulgent Age is the full title of the book. A really interesting read. It was written in 2001, and it's written from a perspective of raising children in a co-parenting atmosphere or raising children with two parents in the home. It hits on some things. It hits on some things. Just real quick, some bullet points, and then I'm going to let this one go. Do's and don'ts. Do commit to the process. Okay? In order for it to work, both parents have to be divested. It can't just be half-hearted. You have to commit to the process. The process will not work if one parent co-parents. Okay? And practice consistency. There needs to be consistency between you and the other spouse, between you and the children. There needs to be consistency between you, the spouse, and the children when it comes to who's doing what on that day. You know what I'm saying? So please be consistent. Again, promote positive talk. Promote positive talk. If you're talking positive about one another, you ain't got time to be on that negative tip. And most of the time, what causes parents to talk on the negative tip, like I said earlier in the show, they feel in some kind of way about their ex. They haven't dealt with those feelings, or that spouse hasn't dealt with those feelings they have for them. And that's why you get that type of dynamic. Okay? Co-parenting is not going to be successful with somebody catching feelings. Bottom line. Okay? Got to promote positive talk above all else. Allow for boring time. And what I mean by that is this. When you're in a co-parenting situation and the children spend time, you know, shuttling between homes or spending time between homes, it is perfectly okay for them to be sitting in a home and doing nothing. Being with a parent does not mean, oh boy, we getting ready to go to McDonald's. Oh boy, we getting ready to go to Great America. Oh boy, we getting ready to go to the movies. Oh boy, you know, it isn't always. If it was a dynamic where the parents were still together, would you be taking your child out every day doing things with them? No, you wouldn't. You'd be like, baby, I don't feel like going nowhere today. Go over there and play that Nintendo, read a book, or watch television. It's perfectly fine for a child to be with a parent and not be out doing anything. And I think that's the worst thing for the opposite parent to do is to call and say, hey, what are you doing? Nothing. How come you're not taking my daughter anywhere? How come you're not going here? How come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that? Because it's my time. You don't tell me what I should and shouldn't be doing with this child. That's not the right response. But you can tell there was something really visceral inside of me, and I just responded to that because I've heard it before many times. If it's not your week, it's not your week. Deal with it. And that being said, do update the other parent about what's going on, what you did, you know, as far as, you know, medicines, as far as activities, as far as behaviors. Oh, she said this or she did that. If there's a conflict going on as the opposite parent, don't get in the middle of it. If that parent was doing something and it went on in their house, that's their house. Once you leave time, you need to be mindful not to create this blanket and be like, oh, it's okay for you to do that or say that when you're not around your dad. Because I know a lot of times, you know, my ex would allow my daughter to do and say all kinds of stuff. You know, we'll let her curse. We'll let her do go here. We'll let her go there. Act a certain way. You know, behave a certain way. And it's not acceptable. You know what I'm saying? It's absolutely not acceptable. So let's try to mind our business. Things you don't do, you shouldn't burden your children with whatever's going on. If you're having a rough day, you're having a rough day. Don't burden your children with that. I don't work my fingers to the bone. I bet you better sit down, shut up, and don't do that. I mean, be a parent, but at the same time, don't burden them. Don't condemn your ex for their parenting techniques. As long as the child is safe, as long as the child is thriving, okay, people don't do everything the way you choose to do it. You know what I'm saying? So don't be an unbalanced parent. Don't 1 week do something and then the next week do something entirely different. That's confusing to children. You can't spoil them 1 second and then the next second turn around and be this unyielding monster of a parent that dares your child to ask for something, and if they do, you just gonna straight tackle them and wrap them up like y'all in an MMA match. And at the same time, in that token, don't be guilty. Don't be guilty by your children, and don't be guilty by the other spouse to try to do things. If it ain't in your budget, it ain't happening. If it's not something you feel like the child should be doing, and it's your week, guess what? Y'all ain't doing that. Okay? And when there's a conflict between a child with the other parent and the child comes to you, don't accuse. And at the same time, when you guys have beef and the parent, I mean, and the child is being the go-between, don't accuse. Discuss it. Because a lot of times children learn at a very early age that they can play parents against each other if parents are intent on being the better parent, quote unquote, and that's why you got to do that equally. My question to the audience at random: are you a co-parent? And if you are a co-parent, and what doesn't work for you? 646-668-2268. The lines is open, and if y'all wants to call in, please feel free to call in. Guess what? We're at the halfway point where we're between topics, y'all. Co-parenting is what we were talking about. And the burden of that responsibility. That burden of that responsibility should fall to both parents, not just one, hence the co in co-parenting. Ain't a whole lot I can really, you know, elaborate on in that area. And since I got to move on, guess what, y'all? I'm going to move on to our second topic. And it seems like my audience likes to respond to the controversial and conflagrated victim blaming. Victim blaming is something that is very prevalent in our society today. And just in case y'all didn't know it, victim blaming was used largely when referring to a victim of rape or sexual assault. Only recently has victim blaming been used to cover a wide variety of or forms or types of victimization. Psychologist William Ryan first coined the phrase victim blaming in 1971 in his book entitled, ironically enough, Blaming the Victim. And like I always do, at the top of each topic, I give you a little definition. Crime is held entirely or partially responsible for harm done to them is what victim blaming is. And for the sake of not sounding like I am singling out women, I'm going to go ahead and say victim blaming comes in the form of things like people saying he deserved it, or he caused it or brought it on himself. He should have changed his appearance or what he was saying or doing. He should have known better. Okay? I'm reminded of a, and I often say this when we talk about this topic, I'm reminded of a stand-up routine that Dave Chappelle did called For What It's Worth. And he talks about how when men go in the club and see women in tight dresses and spandex and all of that stuff and, you know, camel toes and boobs pushed up, and just because I'm dressed this way doesn't mean I'm a prostitute. Yes, and they're right. Just because they dress a certain way does not make them a prostitute, but it is very confusing. It's not necessarily wrong to dress a certain way. We dress a certain way for how much attention do I want? Guess what? My apparel doesn't dictate that. Regardless of what my testosterone tells me, what a woman is wearing does not dictate how much she should or shouldn't deserve anything. Does that make sense? What I'm wearing doesn't say I asked for it. What I'm doing doesn't say I asked for it. Victim blame largely comes in the form now of anything where there's a situation and largely where we have used victim blaming to justify racism and social injustices, particularly with people of color. Just recently here, Bassam Jean, the young man who just got shot in his own apartment. We're building up the fact that there was a couple of grams of marijuana. What does that mean? Nothing, because he's still dead. Victim blaming. Got a caller on the is there and it is the world famous, world famous.
What
happened?
Hi, what's up?
What's going on? What's going on, Sway? What's going on? I knew you were going to call when I started talking about this.
I was going to try not to. I was going to try not to. I was going to try. I really was going to try. I was.
Okay. What, get it off your chest, girl. Get it off your chest,
okay,
girl.
Okay, so what got me, and you can like hang up on me when I'm done. Mike, what got me was, you know, we talked about saran wrap dresses a while back, several episodes ago, where a woman will wrap herself in a clear dress and then go out in a clear, see-through saran wrap dress and then go, oh, my God, guys are looking at me. I don't like it. We talked about that.
Uh-huh.
Funny
yeah.
is that it's not fair because the equivalent for a guy is a guy can just be in some sweatpants and a T-shirt, and it's the same look. Like a guy who, you know, could be a perv, is ready to get down, who might assault you. Like, they just have the same look. It's not like guys walk around, I mean, except for, like, gay guys, maybe some gay guys in the Castro here in San Francisco with briefs and,
right.
like a cock ring or something. You know, you don't really get that with a guy. But guys send messages. I mean, like, the message a woman gets when they see a guy is, it's a guy. That's the only message we need. We don't need him to have on saran wrap briefs. That's what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, we're judging how – listen, any guy is a potential, like, is he going to say something to me when I walk by? You know, So there's no equivalent. It's kind of unfair because, like, unfortunately, there have been enough bad male actors in the world that it gives good male actors a hard time because there's no look for a guy who's ready to get down. You know what I'm saying? And how would you feel if we just start saying, hey, baby, those jeans look tight. Oh, you're wearing your jeans low. I could see all that ass. You're sagging today. Yeah. Oh. I mean, like, how would you feel? You'd be pissed. You'd turn around. If it was, like, three or four girls, you couldn't just turn around and – no, it's, like, three or four girls. If we just start rolling up on guys. Yeah, I see that ass. Got you. You're sagging today. You know.
Okay. But my question
So there's no look for
is,
a guy.
And that
so to say, like, a woman shouldn't dress a certain way, you're giving guys, like, they can just do whatever they want, but a woman can't wear, like, a clear dress.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Well,
but at the same time, what I am saying is if that woman in that saran wrap dress gets raped, sexually assaulted, to say, to turn
she
around
could have
say,
made a better choice. She could have made a better choice. Yeah. She could have. But
okay.
It's not like she looked around and said, oh,
so,
the guys
so here's
that
my
are
question.
Walking, looking
when
at
you
me.
Want to look sexy, when you want to look sexy, Sway, and I know you can, I've seen you. Now, is that wrong for you to want to look sexy, and you're not looking sexy because you want to get raped or assaulted?
I don't
want
to be raped. I just want, like, yeah, I got big boobs, and sometimes I like to push them up. I don't mean I want somebody to do anything to them. It's just a look.
Attention does not equate into
it's not an invitation. And like I said, we don't even get an invitation. Women, our invitation is just every fucking guy. Every fucking guy with his pants sagging, every guy in a fucking suit or a T-shirt is an invitation to some bullshit for a woman. So this is like the way we dress. I mean, I don't get it. I do think that a woman can make a better choice. It doesn't make it right if the world is wrong. But you know how the world is, so why are you making a dangerous choice if you don't want to back it up? I'm right there with you. I don't personally have a saran wrap dress. I don't have one.
Okay. But you do have eyebrow raising dresses.
I do. I have dresses that push my boobs up and, like, you know, make my waist look small and everything, you know? I mean, I do. And I'm a lot more selective about when and where I choose to wear such attire. I know the world we live in.
And if you're in a setting and a guy just randomly squeezes your booty, you didn't ask for that.
You know what? If I turn around and grab his dick, are we about to fuck? Or is he going to hit me or am I going to punch him in the face? Like, what's going to happen? You grab my ass and I grab your dick. What's going to happen? Are we going to fuck or are we going to get into a fight? Or is somebody going to jail tonight? Like, what? Anything could happen. If you grab my ass in a saran wrap dress, what is about to happen? You initiated some shit with a stranger. You being the guy who grabbed my ass in a saran wrap dress. And I'm
men feel that way. Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, if you're a guy and your ex-wife, you got two little kids with her, and y'all broke up, and she's suddenly going around, walking around in saran wrap dresses.
I mean,
you can have callers call in and we can discuss it further. Like, I wouldn't, if I was a guy, I wouldn't want my baby mama walking around in saran wrap dresses, attracting all sorts of Tom, Dicks, and Harrys to the house around my kids. I get that. I don't have anything to say about who you date, but you're doing things that are dangerous. You're making choices that are not ideal. You're attracting unwanted attention to my family. And if my family is just my kids, that's what you're doing. You know, so I have to be on
a
guy's side.
And in a co-parenting situation, you can discuss.
But if the guy wants to walk around with his pants sagging and his ass out, you know, like, what if I don't like that? Like, this is my baby daddy walks around and, D-Real, listen, I don't know if Oakland takes it to a new level. I have seen fellas walking around, their pants are like around, like they're mid-thigh. It's like just above the knee with like the belt, just holding it, and then they hold it with one hand and they're walking. And it's just like just their entire ass is out. Now, if that was my baby daddy, I have to ask myself why I ever got with him. Why? You know, you always
that's
have to ask
the first
yourself,
one. That's
you,
first.
Why did you get with the saran wrap dress stitch? Why did I get with the dude's butt hanging all out? And now his butt is all out.
Is that
out,
attractive?
And my son.
Is that attractive?
My son,
is that attractive to you? Is a dude
sagging
attractive?
It takes everything in me to not say anything.
Okay,
you know,
and
like the other day, I was walking behind some guy. Like, unfortunately, but the timing on the sidewalk, a guy, he was walking with a girl, a friend of his or whatever. His whole ass was out. And I was just, the timing was me walking behind him. I just, you know. I don't condone asses out, but if you want to wear your ass out, that's your business. It's your ass. It's a free country. But if you're the father of my kids, don't teach our son that it's okay for his ass to be out. I'm with that. I'm with that outrage.
Okay.
It's not
so
cool.
So now, let me, can I take the conversation in a different direction? And say, let's talk about that specific situation with Botham Jean and Amber Geiger, the cop that shot him. Now, like I said, talking about them, the police, rangers, whoever the hell it was in there, finding marijuana, supposedly, in that man's apartment.
It's fucking bullshit.
Now,
it's fucking
what
bullshit.
Does that
That's
have
that
to
is.
Do? What does
That's
that have to do
nothing.
With a man being dead? Even if you it's even
nothing.
If you found Absolutely. Marijuana in his apartment, you can't convict him of it. He's dead.
Nothing. He's dead.
Even if
and
you
what,
found
again, wait,
marijuana in his apartment, it has
in.
Nothing.
He didn't say, "Oh, I smelled marijuana and I came busting in the door." Like marijuana had nothing to do with the incident, nothing whatsoever. It's completely irrelevant. It's not like, oh, I smell marijuana coming from under the door. I'm going to just bust into this door and shoot somebody. That wasn't even part of the conversation. That wasn't part of her statement. And even if it was, that would still be it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
how do you think non-people of color feel about victim blaming as far as it relates to crimes that result in someone being dead or like many of our brothers and sisters who have fallen at the hands of police officers? How do you think non-people of color relate to that when they're victim blaming and saying, well, if he wasn't doing this, then that wouldn't have happened?
Well, I can't get into their minds because that don't make sense, and I can't their minds, but that's dumb. And that's just wanting to just believe stereotypes. That's just kind of conveniently wanting to buy into some stereotype you already have, some bias you already have against a black man, no matter whether he's the perpetrator, the victim, no matter what. You see a black man involved, he was wrong. Somehow he was wrong. Something he did in his past made him – it's ridiculous. And I can't get into their minds. But I think that's just bias. And then the whole effort to play into that by the police or the media, whoever conjured this up to put that out. I mean, you're buying into it. The media, the police, they were right in thinking that you would buy that in the court of public opinion. In the court of public opinion, it's believable that a black man deserves it every time he's shot, even if it's in his own damn home, in his underwear, sitting on his couch. He did something. Well, he must have done something somewhere.
All the way back to 1971, and when I started talking about this, I mentioned William Ryan, the psychologist that wrote the book Blaming the Victim. In this book, he himself, a white man, victim blaming is often used to justify racism and social injustices, particularly against people of color.
So they're out there. I mean, we talked about lying ass, bitch ass hoes who lie and make up shit and try to fuck up a man's career because he dumped her and didn't want to have anything to do with her anymore, so she had to come up with some bullshit. That's wrong. But the same victim blaming is always casting doubt on, oh, she must be lying. Why she wait so long? This and that. The victim blaming, there are some parallels. You know, victims are victims, or alleged victims, like the Brett Kavanaugh lady, the professor. This lady's a PhD.
Right.
She's a doctor. She's not some bitch. She's not even Stormy Daniels, who's like a shameless porn star. This lady is a professor. And she's like, this Supreme Court justice. But how many people are just like, oh, here we go. Who's this bitch? She's coming out of nowhere. That was 35 years ago. Why didn't she say something before? Da, 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 da. We have to go through that whole dialogue. And then the Senate don't want to give her a full hearing. Well, you got to come in tomorrow. Come in tomorrow morning at 9. Well, she's like, well, give me a couple of days to get ready. They just say, okay, we'll hear you out, but come in Monday. We don't believe you, but get in here tomorrow. You know, that's how they're trying to do her because there's already suspicion cast upon her. And I get that plenty of people have ruined it or tried to ruin it or potentially ruin legitimate claims because there's been some fake-ass, weak-ass hoes out there lying. I get that. Just like there's bad black guys out there doing bad shit, and then you got shot because you were trying to steal money out of your grandma's purse to do some bullshit on the street. I mean, there's plenty of guilt to go around, but the assumption of guilt and the victim blaming, there are parallels, right? So if you're your baby daddy is walking around with their ass out or in a clear saran wrap dress, You have to first stop and go, damn, I chose that person. Like, you fell for the saran wrap dress at least one night. One night.
Yes.
She was wearing
an
aluminum foil
dress,
got with her. And now she's wearing a saran wrap dress.
I can't tell you how many times I have contemplated that very thing. But as far as victim blaming goes, I'm not going to blame someone for allowing me to be in the situation I'm in with them. At the same time, just like you said, fine line between what is and ain't a victim, though.
Right.
Be a true victim if you're going to play that card. But if you're not a victim, and I think we've had this discussion too, matter of fact, back in October when the Me Too stuff came out, and it was, matter of fact, it was the same conversation where we talked about the saran wrap dress. we talked about this same thing, and I think victim blaming for me personally, it became a real thing for me with Rodney King.
That's one of the most egregious cases we've ever seen.
When you say problem, that's a problem, and that tells me that's a problem with a people. You got, what was it, six or seven. I'll have to go back and look, but I think it was six shots on one guy. He's hogtied on the ground with a taser in him, and folks beating him with billy clubs. But somehow, when it went to trial, he became the victim. I'm like, no, there's no way on earth you can tell me that a cat getting mollywonked on the side of the interstate by 6-7 cops is not the victim. And every single person of color who's been shot by a police officer in the past 2-3 years, every single one of them, you can check the cases at one point or another. Every single last one of them. Victim freaking blaming. Why? They're dead.
I know.
Why are you blaming them?
Oh, Trayvon Martin has some Skittles, but was it Skittles? Oh, he got a D in chemistry class. I mean, they just find any damn thing. Oh, he had a bad grade. They just find any damn thing to try to deflect. I know, I get it. And all I'm doing is throwing out a quick point about the parallels when it comes to victim blaming women, because there's plenty of black guys lying, and there's plenty of black guys who are victims. There's plenty of white and black and all colored women who will lie and be vindictive, and there's plenty who are telling the truth. And just because they waited 30 years, again, I go back to my favorite analogy, which is the Catholic priest shit, where these boys waited 30 years, and it's like, yep, Father O'Malley fondled me. Well, I'm okay. So it took 30 years. They found that shit true. And now they have a crisis. 30 years, so what? Like, that's your first question, but that doesn't mean that's enough for you to dismiss it. So I'm just saying that there's parallels of the victim blaming and dismissiveness of alleged possible victims. And
Truth.
We just have
so.
To keep an open mind. We have to keep an open mind. Like, it doesn't mean you have to be a pushover and buy everything here. It just means don't slam your mind shut the minute you hear about a woman saying, this motherfucker shoved me onto the bed and tried to rape me 30 years ago, drunk at a party. I mean, let's hear what else she's got to say before we just dismiss it. That's all I'm saying. She could be wrong, could be bullshit, but let's hear.
I'm going to pull a name out of the archives and tell me if you remember this one. Harambe?
Yes.
Harambe the gorilla? Mm-hmm. at the Cincinnati Zoo when the kid got into the gorilla enclosure and got drugged around by Harambe. And then when they got the kid out, what was the first thing they did? They went and looked, where is his daddy? Oh, his daddy has a record. What in the hell does that have to do with the little boy getting drugged by a damn gorilla? You know,
well,
it's,
he shouldn't have been in there
image.
With the gorilla. Why did his parents let him crawl in there? His parents should have been watching him.
Well, there was only one parent
there.
You know what I'm saying? And kids will be kids. But my whole thing is, why bring up his dad? Why bring his dad's criminal record up, who wasn't even there and didn't have nothing to do with it? And why is it a negative connotation being delineated to the dad? It wasn't like he could have beat up the gorilla.
It's just trying to take the court of public opinion. That's what it is. Because they can do that all day, and then you go to court and there's a different outcome. But the court of public opinion is a powerful court. And once you put that information out there and taint the waters, it's difficult to snatch that back. Even when real truths come out later, somebody might not bother to come and see the follow-up truths. All they saw was the victim blaming when it first happened, and then they go through life thinking, you know. So, I mean, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as constituents of the court of public opinion, we're all constituents and jurors. We're all jurors in the court of public opinion. So we have a responsibility to, like, ignore certain things, that think certain things are inadmissible. I mean, you have to just be a smarter person. But, you know, the damage is done already. He has some weed in his house. He has some weed. So an officer who lived upstairs, who lived downstairs, came by and shot his ass. Is that what you're trying to say? I mean, because that's just like, oh, she had on Saran wrap dress, so five guys gang raped her with a broomstick. Is that what you're trying to say? She deserved that? No, it's irrelevant. You know, maybe she shouldn't have had on the Saran wrap dress, but it doesn't take anything away from their guilt at all. All right, so he has some weed, which all that tells me is he was a cool brother. That tells me he probably wasn't starting any trouble. Most people who smoke weed are just chill. They ain't got time to go out trying to. They don't want to go get into any. They just want to chill. So
that's an actual
factual.
All
that does is put me more on his side. That makes him more. I'm more on his side knowing that he smoked weed. That makes me like him more. Because he was
chilling in his own apartment.
We
know he wasn't out to do nothing crazy to nobody.
I know I got some weed here, so I'm just going to chill. Yeah, he ain't going to cause no problems.
Like I said last week, maybe if Officer Geiger had a twisted one up and just smoked, she probably would have went and shot old boy.
These officers are just trained to be trigger happy. I mean, I know it's a tough job, and it's like it's too late if you wait a split second too late and you let somebody shoot you first. It's not a job I would take. So I admire people who are willing to get out there, but are they properly trained to de-escalate situations? And how could she have not de-escalated that situation? I mean, why was it shoot first and ask questions later with coming into someone else's apartment? And they didn't heed your command. And I'm still going, what the fuck command did you say coming into the man's home? And maybe he was terrified. And then
you
shot him?
Why
didn't you back
up?
Why didn't you back out? You could have back out to the hallway. Oh, shit, let me back out and call for backup. You could have, although backup might have come in shooting, too. You never know with these cops. Backup might have been just as bad. But back out. Think about it. Look at the apartment door. Look at the number. Look at the rug. Oh, shit, this isn't even my apartment. Like, she got herself all amped up to shoot somebody before noticing she was wrong. Right? So I don't want to get into that because I don't want you to feel like I threw you off your topic tonight. But that case is still bullshit to me. It's just still bullshit. All right, and if the people of Texas want to stand for that, okay. Oakland,
well,
it wouldn't happen.
It's going down.
It wouldn't happen. They would have
the
people
line.
Shut
I mean,
shit down out here.
This is just the most recent one in a long list of countless others. Victim blame is a thing. Victim blame is a thing that is done primarily to people of color.
And women.
And women, definitely women. And
like, what were you wearing?
Currently,
is the victim blame?
At this,
how many men have you
right,
slept
at
with?
At this particular time, what solution is it to victim blaming, if there is one?
Oh no! Hopefully, just like I said, as jurors in the court of public opinion, as we all are, see it for what it is. Just because they reported that, just stay focused on the real facts of the case. Try to not let yourself go, oh, yeah. Don't try not to get caught up in your own feelings. Yeah, I remember that bitch that blamed me that time. Or I remember that black guy that robbed me that one time. Try not to get caught up in your own personal feelings and bias when you hear about stuff. That's all I can say. I mean, we can't stop the media from doing what they do or the police from putting out, you know, digging up some dirt, trying to switch the subject. We already know we don't trust them half the time. So why would you jump on the police bandwagon and just suddenly just ride on everything they're saying that flies in the face of the facts of the case? Like, so try to keep a clear head. Stay focused on the facts. That's all I can say.
Okay. Well, Sway, it has been a joy, a pleasure, and a privilege. I'm around out. You can continue listening.
I sure will.
Okey-doke.
I sure will.
And if you
and
feel like
baby mamas, baby daddies, you might be mad at them. You don't like what they're doing. But don't forget, you got with that person one time at least. So everything they're doing after that, you have to learn how to deal with. You made that choice that one time, and you can't control other
true.
People. I'm going to leave you with that. You can project,
all right,
be mad,
wait,
but, yeah.
No, and ain't nobody going to be mad. And if they are, they're going to come at me. They ain't going to come at you.
It's okay. I don't mind. All right, right on, D-Real.
All right, Sweet, I'll holler at you.
Okay. Bye.
Peace. The ever incomparable and always effervescent Sway Black. I enjoy listening to her talk. Bottom line, I like the parallels she made between the two that that was interesting, unexpected, and interesting. But real quick, what I wanted to hit on about victim blaming, as far as it being a problem. We know it's a problem. What solution to victim blaming? How do we stop ignorant people from victim blaming? In recorded history, I have never read a story, seen any kind of information, watched any type of video where there was an actual case of a woman saying, rape me or assault me. There have been situations where, you know, there's deviant things going on and deviant situations might go too far. But at the same time, you freaky deek, that's what safe words are for. Pineapples, Dumbo, you know, that's why you use those words. It's like, okay, now you need to scale back with the broom there. Calm down. But when we're talking about people as victims who are dying, this is something that has to stop. When we're talking about people who are victims that are traumatized, they got PTSD behind something a man did to them, I mean, if you ain't a victim, I believe in coming down hard on you. If you are a victim, you deserve to have your day in court. You deserve to see justice, whatever, say anybody asks for it. Or we can't look at something peripheral to the issue and say, well, you should observe that. Okay? I don't care if they found a crack vial in Blossom Jean's apartment. I don't care if they found meth in the man's apartment. I don't care if they found dynamite in the man's apartment. He wasn't using it at the time, and he did. Period. Okay? She's still walking around, breathing. Okay? The cops did what they did to Rodney King, still walking around, breathing. Philando Castile, Freddie Gray, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice. All these mugs are still walking around breathing, but these young black men, Sandra Bland, and women are not because of the actions of the police. And in every single instance, they decided it would be a good idea if I put a twist on this story and make it look like Sandra Bland hung herself. Yeah, that's highly likely. A lippy, opinionated, sassy black woman decided to kill herself. In what reality? Maybe those folks that ain't in the know or who ain't been around a black woman is like, I don't give a damn what the cops say. I'm getting ready to tell them how I feel about it. That's the last person that's getting ready to kill herself. Okay? But there's too much power in law enforcement in general. They have rights. They have certain authority to do certain things, but when they overstep their boundaries, because there are so many protections and peripheral safeguards set up in advance to protect police in these very situations, it makes it very, very, very difficult to find, prosecute a dirty cop, okay? But no offense to policemen that are listening, because I know there is at least one cop listening to this podcast. I know that all cops are not dirty. I know all cops aren't dirty. They aren't. They just aren't. I get it. No, they're not. But my question to the clean cops is, you're telling me code of silence is more important than watching out and out wholesale corruption and just the stuff that goes on? That's cool. I mean, you're cool with that? Because if I say something, then I'm going to get blacklisted. Well, then maybe being a police officer ain't what you should be doing. If you're not actually protecting and serving, you're not actually standing up for the people who need to be stood up for when they need to be stood up for. I don't care if you ain't never shot nobody. You part of the problem. You ain't helping the situation, you are making that situation worse, period. In closing, I just want to say co-parenting is a beautiful thing. It is a very beautiful thing when both parents are firing on both cylinders and they're doing what they're supposed to do and making life beautiful for the children that they brought into the world. Co-parenting takes effort, and it don't just magically happen. You can co-parent and hate somebody's guts. I'm a witness. You can co-parent with somebody and not really like them as a person. That's what co-parenting is about. You may not agree with their lifestyle. You may not agree with who they're in a relationship with after you. But if their parenting skills are up to par, rest of that stuff's peripheral. You can look past it. Besides, most of it doesn't have anything to do with you. Anywho, some blaming goes. if anybody wants to start up some kind of coalition or deal or anything similar to Me Too and deal with this victim blaming situation, yo, I am so with that. I believe that if you want to see something done, you want to see something change, damn it, you got to get up off of your behind and do it. You have to do it. You can't wait for somebody to form some group or form some coalition or form some team or wait for the NAACP to intervene. You get up and do it. Okay? And I'm trying to raise awareness is what I do with these podcasts. Some of them are fun. Some of them are hee-hee-ha-ha. But, I mean, for the most part, I'm trying to raise awareness. Shouts out to my brothers who are listening tonight. Y'all better be listening tonight. My man Donnie, who's in town. What's up, dog? Peace and love. My man Shannon, I know you listening. You said you was going to get in on this podcast one day. You need to get up and get on it, partner. And my man Fred, what's up, love? What's going on? Appreciate y'all. I'll be with y'all in a minute. Y'all know how to get in touch with me. When you want to get in touch with me, we want to put something together. Also, shout out to my man Kokai Nosakere for giving me the opportunity, man, to write another newspaper article for your publication and to get paid for it. You are the man, 100 grand. I like where you stand. I will be back next week with another fun, insightful, and innovative episode, Be Real with your man, Be Real. This has been Be Real with D-Real for September 20th, 2018. As I said, I'll be back with another topic next week. Until then, y'all be good and be good to each other. Mm-hmm.